Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of our Canvas Rebel podcast, talking about building brands, organizations, and movements that matter, which is something that these four entrepreneurs are incredibly passionate about. And I'm just so excited to have you all here and to learn a little bit more about your companies and what you do. So let's get started with some introductions.
Wonderful. I'm Becca Grabinski. I am based out of Orlando, Florida, and I am a coach, transformation coach for entrepreneurs that are different than everybody else. So I like to call them the top 1%. They are like the black sheep, grew up, didn't have a place in this world, didn't know who they were, did not belong. I think we're all in that group, right? And we go out, we can't work for somebody else. We can't have somebody else telling us what to do. And so we get to create based on who we really are and our authenticity. And so I really teach people to connect with that inner essence of who you are and take that into your business. And what we find is that success, when we're authentic, is beyond what we can possibly imagine. So I'm so happy and excited to be here.
Happy to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, hello. I am Constance Jones. I am a personnel matchmaker identifying overlooked qualified talent while transforming hiring practices. As a connector, my background spans from HR consultancy to talent acquisition. Here out of Houston, Texas, we are a national staffing agency. Working from all walks of life, small yeah. businesses to the government entities, but we're filled with passion to empower companies to build dynamic teams in the workplace.
Awesome.
I'm Kate Fitzpatrick. I'm located in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is outside of New York City, about 45 miles. I had never heard of it before I lived here, so I always like to qualify that. I co-run a branding agency called BWB, and we work to support entrepreneurs and small business owners to build their businesses. So that includes a variety of things. It's different for every single person because everyone's coming with their own identity and their own unique gifts and skills and desires and dreams. So we work with people to help unpack that and come up with strategies that can help them launch their businesses. And also we help them with the branding part of it, which could be anything from the written verbal stuff, you know, anything you want to say about your work, all the way through to the visual and design pieces, which are, you know, things like websites and logos. And I think just it's really exciting to be doing branding differently. We like to say that we're a holistic branding agency. So what we would do for you is going to be different from what we would do for somebody else. So no cookie cutter strategies.
Love that.
And greetings. My name is Dominique Pierre Toussaint. I was raised in Far Rockaway, Queens, New York, and I have lived in Minnesota for over 20 years. So I reside in the Twin Cities. I'm the founder of Society 101, which is a consulting group that helps corporate entities, businesses, city officials, and school districts, governmental agencies, and nonprofit organizations to be more socially responsible by developing ethical and community-oriented policies and practices. And awesome. Thank you for having me on your panel.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I would love to just start off by asking, how are you all using your platform or your company to empower others? How do you empower your clients?
Well, I know for us that DEI seems to be like a known word right now. It's a household word, and mm-hmm. it can be scary for some people and sometimes not. But for us, because we are actually pulling the overlooked qualified candidate, we have built this retention plan. Mm-hmm. And that's what we offer with our clients, is how to actually retain your workforce.
Yeah.
And it's just letting them know, like, identify your in-house personnel that could possibly match to and move up in the development within the company, so everyone's productive.
Yeah. And that's great. I really like to look at the remembering who you are, right? When you go back to like childhood and you sit in that essence of who you were before the world told you who you were, and kind of remove all of those layers. Who are you? Where you decide to go? And so I have many very high profile clients. And one of the things that I tell them is that you're a builder. So when you're doing anything outside of building, you're inauthentic. And the reason why you're feeling exhausted is because you're doing things that are not in alignment with who you are. So we remove this, we amplify this, and we, you know, we outsource this wherever we have to go. And what they find is now when you have a happy business owner, a happy CEO, right? A happy entrepreneur, all of a sudden they have more clients.
Yeah.
Happier. Exactly. And there's more alignment, and it's a fulfillment, because mm-hmm. success without fulfillment and bringing them together. So the empowerment really just comes back to who are you? Mm-hmm. And can you just let yourself be that and not be the version of you that you thought you needed to be loved and accepted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Becca, we have a very similar approach in the sense that my immediate thought when you asked that question is empowerment's going to look different for everybody. You know, what's going to empower me might be different than what would empower you, Constance. You know, everybody has different drivers and motivators. And similar to the practice you were just talking about, we do an exercise early on with a lot of clients that's called releasing their shoulds. And, you know, really taking a look at what all of our unique shoulds might be, and then figuring out how to move forward with them in mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone has a lot of shoulds, for example, around using social media, but they don't want to use social media, we then look at that and say, okay, well, how can we help you grow a business without using social media? Yeah. And where is that coming from? What does that stem from? So really looking at those, you know, unique characteristics and conditionings and identities that everybody's bringing to the table in order to then figure out a plan forward for them.
That's great.
And Madison, I want to say, I know during the 2020 pandemic, we had quite a few situations where our children, our youth, young adults were kind of barred from social skills, which I was raised with being social and being hands-on.
Yeah.
They're more in that tech world, but we seem to have paused from trying to educate the new youth coming in. So with Society 101, what I've done was try to mesh the two generations. I call it season. I don't call it old. Seasoned generation season with the new generation. So what I've done with Society 101 is we utilize the new generation as consultants and slash interns through our stipend internship program, which is sponsored by Minnesota Myth, a new arena football league that started here. The consultants share their passion of interest and Society One to create their entrepreneurial experiences and career opportunities.
Yeah.
So we have that with our young adult career readiness program under issue staffing, which also guides our clients into the second chance initiatives and just empowering the young adults, because there is a disconnect. And we have a program, it's called How to Lose a Millennial, 5 Ways to Lose a Millennial in the Workplace, because of the disconnect between the four generations that are currently working. So I think all of us here are just trying to figure out how do we pull out what we know traditionally to this new age, right, relationship and mesh it together on our platforms.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah. Snaps for that. What has been the biggest challenge for each of you in your entrepreneurial journey, and how have you been able to overcome that?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I used to want to help everyone.
Mm.
I realized that
was really a fear mentality, right? Then we got really specific. And I remember when I was walking into like, who is my perfect person? And it's funny because my perfect person is a man. I grew up in a very dominant energy myself, very masculine energy. And so I understand men better than I do women. And so for me, yeah, for me just to coach men, because I know how they think, I understand them, I can get them to where they need to go faster. And I kind of navigate around the emotion because they don't really have a lot. We get like the most insane results. And so there was a level of guilt of me choosing that path because it was like, yeah, I can still help women. I still do have clients that are women, but I gravitate to men. And it's funny because if you would have asked me, you know, 5 years ago, who would you be working with? And I would have never said, I would have said, mom, stay at home, entrepreneurial, you know, wanting to build something, believe me. I'm way on the other spectrum. Really like, you know, honoring and trusting yourself, right? More than ever to pick the path that really feels like a hell yes to you. And so when I finally did that, I no longer have clients that I don't want to work with, right? And I think that's really valuable. If we don't like the people that we're working with, that's not fun. And I have a very strong vetting practice. It's very intuitional, right? I'll know, yes, you can, or no, you can't. And the more people I turn away, the more amazing people come in.
Yep, absolutely. I love that you said that. I have this mantra that I write out or repeat to myself or just keep in the back of my brain. And it says, I don't chase, I attract. And I find with running my own business, when I stopped thinking that everyone was my client and I wanted to help everyone and I, you know, wanted to fix everyone's problems, once I got specific and I niched down, I was able to find dream clients, people that I felt so fulfilled serving, and I knew that they were benefiting from what I had to offer. So that mindset switch is so powerful.
I think it's amazing, Becca, that you had that walkthrough of like identifying your, you know, perfect client. Because I know for me, doing that exercise was completely hard from the beginning, right? And also, I feel that financially, would have been my honest, truest challenge. And yeah, it's not that because, one, our book of business is staffing. So to banks and financiers, we're a high risk industry, right? Because we're banking on the economics, how the world's moving, right? We won't get that work order. They're like, we won't get our money, right? So when we have to approach banks, it's like who you know, understanding your network and actually understanding your network is your net worth.
Yes.
So yeah, placing ourselves aligning with everything from your clientele that you're accepting and being okay saying, no, I can't work with you, but you know what? I might know someone who could possibly help you. Mm-hmm. Not that full rejection, because I am positioned our business in a sense with the government entities. So I have to have a backing like financially behind me to support a net 60 invoice payment or even a net 90 just because, you know, it's the government. but that would not have happened if I did not network with the proper people or align myself with the correct clients to be in that position. And I think we don't have that conversation enough of understanding our network and how that impacts us financially, how that impacts our business, because we all been there, Becca, like, I want to take everybody. And then you get burned. Yes. Or you crash and burn.
You know, you're the fourth person this week to say your network is your net worth. And I'm wondering if that is like a sign, like maybe that's something that I need to like spend some time pondering about. I don't know, but
it might be the season. It might just be the season.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, one of my biggest challenges has been unlearning some of the things I was taught when I worked in a corporate setting. I worked at a corporate, at a corporation, an agency for 10 years, which I realize is probably rare, Constance. Like I was young and I stayed at the same company for 10 years. But there's so much great things, many great things that I took from that experience. But also there's a lot of things that are in the back of my head that I have to remind myself that's something to unlearn. Yeah. For example, the whole slogan of the client's always right.
Oh, yes.
That's actually not true. Or even, I remember when I decided, my business partner, Casey, and I decided to partner together in BWB and run it together. And I remember people saying, be careful of having a business partner. It's going to come back to burn you. Like, there's all these little things out there, these stories that we either tell ourselves or we're told, and really unlearning them and saying, like, where is that really coming from? And do I really believe that? Yep. And if I do, why? And getting to the root of some of this things that I was taught has been one of the hardest things, but also one of their most rewarding things, because when I really dig into those questions and hold those questions, there's a lot of wisdom in there and a lot of, you know, just better information that I can take and move forward with.
Yeah. So well said.
You know, Constance, I'm going to piggyback off of what you said. So I know viewers or listeners at home are not going to be able to see me, but I'm a pretty big Haitian American male, black man. So my biggest challenge has been to battle within myself. Mm. For years, I've had to shrink myself around.
Don't do that.
But I've had to, like, I felt like I've had to.
Right.
I felt like I've had to around individuals to make them feel comfortable. So within this new year, because of what you mentioned about your network, my relationships is my currency. Yes. That's how I built to where I am right now.
Yeah.
And this new year, I've made an intentional effort to follow the process.
Yes.
With regrets or non-apologetic attitude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that.
You probably could go on and on just about the different trainings and the regrowth that, you know, we have to do when we become an entrepreneur, and the unlearning, as Kat has said, like, it's real. It is real to unlearn and how to be comfortable in that same room, that same space.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I know you all focus so much of your days on pouring into your clients, uplifting them, inspiring them, creating opportunities for them. Who's pouring into you? Do you have a mentor? Is there somebody that's keeping you really inspired? I've got a great therapist. That's who's helping me. But like, I'd love to hear who's your mentor, what that journey has looked like.
That's awesome. So I have found that the more that my goal is that at least 60% of my time is pouring into me and 40% is pouring into other people. Because if I don't grow faster than everybody that I'm working with, they're going to surpass me and I don't have a business, right? If we were really honest.
Yeah.
And so I had an experience last year, January, where I blew up like insanely, really, really fast. I asked for it. I created it. I felt it. It happened. I panicked. I felt like I couldn't breathe, right? That was my like aha moment of, let's not let anybody get into this like nervous system can't hold the amount of success that you're bringing in. And so I have Melanie Ann Layer is an amazing energetic coach that I use. Scott Olford is the master of sales and marketing, bringing like soul and business together. Mm. Bob Proctor, right? Now he's gone. Tony Robbins, yep. Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know what I mean? Like, I think you can't just have one, you have to kind of be this like intuitive of what do I need in what area?
Yeah.
And so I've taken all of these in, right? And I kind of shift. I was talking about something the other day about reading, and I said, you know, I don't read books unless I need something, because it's such a waste of time in my opinion, because we're reading these books, but we're not changing. And you can have information and it doesn't matter what you know, if you don't do anything with it, it's irrelevant. So like information, transformation, integration. So what are the pieces that we can pick up, because we all have the same amount of time, and bring them into the transformation and integration. So I think there's just so many answers to that versus just having one mentor, right? What do you need? What kind of time do you have? What's going to move you to the path that you want to go to the fastest?
Yeah. And what works for you specifically as an individual? What works for me doesn't work for everybody else. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, I totally agree with Becca. You have to have multiple vessels that's going to fuel back into you. I just had this conversation with my girlfriends this weekend. Like, who's pouring into me? Because I feel like I'm sitting at my desk 80 hours. Why am I sitting at a desk 80 hours, right? I've surpassed that moment, but there's all these moving pieces, things, and people need your input, right? You've built the team. and you're spewing into your team all the time, right? And leading them to fulfill clients and other things. But you're sit back sometimes. I was like, this weekend with my girlfriend, I was like, who's feeling into me this last quarter? And it was kind of hard because then I looked, I was like, oh, I didn't talk to my business advisors. I didn't talk to my coalition that we've built within this industry of other agency owners. I've just been in motion. And so sometimes just sitting back and saying, okay, it's me time. I'm with you, Beck, about reading books. I love information. Don't get me wrong. I love reading policies, procedures, creating them, grand. But if I'm not going to implement that information, I wasted my time because my mind is like, I'd rather send a productive email than read this book, right? So it's probably like an audio book or something's playing instead to get that information. Or I do a lot of, now it's more like train the trainer events, but just networking and identifying those true collaborators who understand what you're going through or who's been successful in what you've gone through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And taking those notes. And also for me, a lot of times just feeling back is my kids. My kids put back into me. They're my breakaway from everything that's going on. They're my reminder, constant reminder, like that can wait.
Yep.
They can't because I'm watching them grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I totally agree with a lot of what's been said. I do have one mentor, my aunt, actually, that when I was going through my corporate career and reaching different stages and, you know, wanting to pivot into new things, she has had her own business for a long time. And that was really my impetus, you know, kind of mentor, if you will. And I love working with her because we exchange a lot of information. Like just last week, I said, like, I want to learn more about the use of AI and design. And she has, you know, studied that for a long time. So we hopped on a call and talked about it. And that it's really nice to have somebody who has seen you through a lot of phases of your life. I mean, she's known me since I was born, but also sees me now in this new way. But other than that, I mean, I do think the whole network being your net worth. I mean, I've heard a lot of those quotes where it's like the five people you spend the most time with are the people who, you know, are the ones that are influencing you financially and emotionally and spiritually. And I think having a network of people that you can go to for different things, you know, I'm going to go to my partner for a different thing. I might go to my aunt or my, you know, business partner. There's a lot of different, you know, intakes, if you will. But I will say the most fulfilling thing that I've established is every year for 1 month, I go away with a group of other entrepreneurs and we rent a house in a new location and we all work together for just 1 month. We're all working, we're all doing our own thing, but we're all together and experiencing a new place. And that has been hugely impactful in my business. So maybe going outside of the box a little bit when we're defining mentorship for me has been helpful.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
And it's a business expense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
As I stated, everyone, I am in Minnesota, lived here for 20 plus years. I have several mentors, but one that stood out to me was during George Floyd's death. During that time, as I stated, I am from Minnesota right now. This gentleman, Randy Rosseth, reached out to me because he wanted to figure out how to do something to help males of color during this span of time. And of course, during that time, that's when I was going through a lot of struggles, trying to realize or really understand, and had so many individuals reaching out to me.
Yeah.
They were reaching out to me. Of course, let's just be real. I've stated a lot of things before that were common sense before. But all of a sudden, due to the situation, everything that I was saying made me feel like I was Aristotle or something now. Mm-hmm. So this gentleman actually believed in me, and he believed in my mission and vision, working with youth and young adults, trying to bring them to a new be a part of my generation and for me to be a part of their generation. He was professionally placing CEOs and executive directors that are up and coming into position.
Wow.
But this gentleman took the time to actually believe in me and work with me to this day.
Amazing. That's what it's all about. Well, yeah, we are just about out of time. Thank you all so much for joining me. This is a very insightful and impactful conversation, and I am so excited to see how you continue to make an impact and make a difference in 2024.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.